This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. We're back here in America and better than ever, right? We got a Democratic House or a Democratic man in the White House. We got a Democratic Senate and a Republican House of Representatives, just like we had on Monday. Thanks for listening to the program. The decisive electoral win by President Obama puts a very difficult campaign behind him anyway.
Tonight, in this election, you, the American people, reminded us that while our road has been hard, while our journey has been long, we have picked ourselves up. We have fought our way back. And we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come.
The president speaking last night jubilantly at a victory celebration in Chicago. But if the best is yet to come, it's got a few high hurdles in the very early going in this Obama second term.
I think the fiscal cliff provides us with a very rare opportunity to take serious action. On the other hand, if we fail to do something in the next 6 weeks and it takes effect, we're at a risk of a very serious double-dip recession.
That's former investment banker and writer William Cohan talking about the fiscal cliff. Barack Obama is back in Washington, allegedly to deal with it as the market sells off today. But can the Congress and the president work together on this fiscal cliff problem? The Democrats gained seats in the U.S. Senate, so they will be tougher to deal with, perhaps. And for the Republican majority in the House, they better hope that the worst is behind them, according to Republican strategist David Frum.
The Republicans had a very tough night last night, and I think the full magnitude of the toughness is going to sink in. President, because it's not just the election. It's the fact that all of the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of this year. So the Republican Party has lost. It's lost its gamble that it could stop Obamacare with it by opposing it rather than negotiating, and it's lost its gamble that it could do a tax cut. Now it faces a tax increase that happens automatically with no vote.
Republican strategist David Frum speaking today on The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, was at Obama headquarters in Chicago last night. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Always, John. Hi.
So what do you make of that analysis? It can only get worse for the White House in the ensuing couple of weeks, and it can only get better for the Republicans since they're at a real low right now.
There are signs that that's exactly what may be happening, John. The fiscal cliff debate has started. Washington is back in business. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has already had a press conference today. And what did he say? He said, we are done messing around with the Republicans. There will be no more bending over on the debt limit. We will not tolerate any more Republican shenanigans on the debt limit. And we will see taxes raised on the wealthiest among us. We won the election. Barack Obama won. It's not the status quo, Harry Reid said specifically. It is a mandate. Well, House Speaker John Boehner hasn't had a press conference yet, but he's going to in just a few minutes. And I have a little bit of insight for you on what he's going to say. We Republicans will not tolerate any tax increases. Does any of this sound familiar, John?
It does.
Right back to where we started.
And with the markets coming off their own little investment cliff today, what can Barack Obama do, and is he in a better position to be something of a mediator here between Harry Reid and John Boehner?
More than a mediator. He is in a better position politically, and those positions I laid out for you, to be fair, are opening bargaining positions. It doesn't mean that the politics is exactly the same, and we shouldn't give that impression. Barack Obama did win this election. He does have the public behind him to a certain extent. He has been reaffirmed. Now, he can go to the people. It's not just the members of Congress. Barack Obama now has the ability, if this comes down to a fight over raising taxes on the wealthiest. Look, he ran on that. Specifically, if he goes to the public to say, this is what I ran on, he would expect the public to lean on their members of Congress to have that be part of a tax or fiscal cliff deal. Their polling also indicates that the Republican brand suffered mightily from some of the tactics over the debt limit and bringing people up to the brink that we saw over the last 2 years. It was complicated on the inside, but the public internalized it in a way that wasn't friendly to Republicans. In part, you saw the results of that last night. So that is also part of the president's political cudgel. And the other last thing is simply fiscal and legal. As you mentioned in the intro there, John, the Bush tax cuts are expiring. If they don't get a deal in Congress, and they can kick the can, they can get a deal for just a year. They don't have to do a 10-year deal. But if they don't get some kind of deal, a situation is going to happen that Republicans really, really don't want, which is not only the tax cuts for the rich go way up, the estate tax goes way up, taxes for the middle class all go way up, and then Democratic senators have been running around basically saying, dare us, because if you don't want to take any votes to increase taxes, just let them all go up by themselves, and then every vote you take will be a tax cut vote. Do you want that situation? So the political situation has changed, even if the branches of government are status quo, and I think we'll start to see how that shakes out in the coming days and weeks. It's a little unclear as of yet.
It sounds like all your devices are going off. That's not John Boehner trying to reach you, is it?
Well, if only.
Know, I made some calls up on the Hill, and it seems to me that that is the deal. They're going to kick the can down the road for a year. That's a deal that's going to be made fairly quickly, and then the real bargaining will begin sometime in the spring. What do you think?
Because they have larger things to move, and that's exactly the same thing I'm hearing, John. Not only do you have debt limit, which comes around New Year's and expiring tax provisions, but they want to do more than just patch the tax cuts and say, all right, we're not going to let taxes go up. There is consensus to do a broad-based tax reform, a big tax package that does stuff with deductions and raises rates on the wealthiest. That's what Democrats want to do. There will be a debate about that. There's a lot of debate about the details, but there's consensus to do tax reform. You can't do it in 6 weeks or eight. You just can't. It's a big, big heavy lift with lots of stakeholders, lots of players, lots of money and lots of power and political capital involved. So yes, avoid that. Avoid the sequester that's going to cut defense spending and domestic spending if they don't get a deal. You can do that for a year. Do a small patch, get into next year, and then do a big deal later. That seems like the most likely course. Barack Obama's in a much better position now than he was this time yesterday.
I can hear it in your voice, Todd. The election's over. It's back to Washington business. Make your way back to Washington safely now.
Thanks, John. See you then.
Speaking to us from WBEZ in Chicago, where he was witness to the Obama victory yesterday in Chicago, that's Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
Always.
And about a month ago, we got to hear in a pretty interesting way some of the challenges facing the Republican Party right now in defining itself for non-white voters. Hermine Hartman, you may recall, an admitted dissatisfied black Democratic voter in Chicago, was complaining about the Obama first term to us on the air. And African-American Republican Renee Amore, deputy chair of the Pennsylvania Republican State Committee, was trying to woo her to vote for Mitt Romney. Listen, Mitt Romney can get you.
Oh, I would listen.
We're going to get her, John.
I would listen.
No, not listen. Mitt Romney can get your vote.
No, I would listen to him. It depends on what he says.
Come on, Hermine. You don't want the same thing for the next 4 years because
no,
you just said President Obama is not doing it.
I want Obama to change, and I want Romney to respond.
Well, we have both Hermine and Renee back on the show. First of all, welcome back.
Thank you. And hi, Hermine. Hi.
Hello, Renee, the Republican.
I love you, too.
Hermine, the Democrat.
Hermine, the Democrat.
Our host,
all right.
To our gracious host.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And I'll try to be gracious here, but I do have an assignment for you. First of all, how are you doing today, Hermine?
I'm great. Great. Thank you.
Renee?
I've had better days.
I see. And that's really the theme going forward here. Republicans have had better days. Democrats are feeling pretty good right now. But according to our listeners, the Democrats and Republicans have a little bit of a project. Listen, guys.
The next 4 years, the Republicans and the Democrats need to work together. Republicans need to stop squabbling and babbling and everything, and let's get this country on the road.
That's Janella, one of our many, many listeners. She's in Roslindale, Massachusetts, talking about both sides of the aisle need to come together somehow and work together. Hermine and Renee, you can respond to that, right?
Oh,
now
absolutely.
Is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. The game is over. The politics is over. The president has been reelected. He won. So now let's come to the table. Let's talk. Let's negotiate. Let's figure it out. Let's do what's best for America.
All right. Renee Amore and Hermine Hartman, I want you two to be the beacon of light for America and work together. I want you guys to cooperate and show us how it's done. Renee, you begin.
Okay,
Angie, thank you. Well, you know, bottom line is we have to do it. Republicans have to do a better job. But also the president has to do a better job crossing over the other aisle. I had a conversation with Donna Brazile, and she was saying that's an issue for Obama. He does not do that and do it well. And so we'll be more than happy to meet him halfway. And that's what we've been talking about in Pennsylvania. Hopefully, you know, our congressman and our senator will make sure that they relay that message to Mr. Boehner, and he's going to be coming out to Pennsylvania. We're going to tell him. So, Hermine, you know, I'm crossing the aisle right now, and I'm shaking your hand, even though I am a nervous wreck, because I think it's going to be more taxes, more regulations on my business.
Renee, you and I have no problem. Here's what needs to happen. You sit down and you negotiate. I have three things. I want to see an agenda for urban America. I want to see a small business stimulus package, and I want to see better treatment for the veterans. It's that simple. I think one of the things Republicans have to face is the Republicans are of yesterday. You are of yesteryear. You are dealing with white-haired white men, period. You're not recognizing that the country has changed. The world has changed. It is browner and it is blacker. And you have got to deal with minorities in this country. You cannot insult women. You cannot say you get raped, therefore you have babies. That does not work. That is an old thinking. It sounds like they come from a different era.
All right.
So the first thing Republicans have to do is get up to date.
Renee, help us out here.
I agree with you 100%. I always tell my party that we look like white men with bald heads, and we have to stop that. We have to really.
I gave you hair. I said white hair.
No, I said no hair.
Okay.
And bottom line is what I'm telling them is that we have to expand our base. We have
right.
to let people know that we want to embrace people of color. When George Bush was in, he embraced the Latinos, and that's why he did well in that community. Tom Ridge here, the same thing. On a national level, we have to get our folks to pull together, but it's not always just the Republicans. Let me be real, real clear about that, too. It's also with the Democrats understanding that our government doesn't need to keep getting larger and larger and larger and people having to be more dependent on government. And so the Democrats have to learn that we have to really help people start their small businesses, keep their small business, those types
okay.
of things.
Okay. All right. You know, that's fine. Renee, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we just got a minute. We just got a minute. You both have been
okay.
so great.
We were trying.
You were doing great. Just before we go, are you optimistic? You think they're going to get it together, Hermine?
Yes.
Renee,
how about you?
Yes, I do. Renee, how about you? You don't
You don't think so, Renee?
No,
Here's how they get it together. They need to let Renee
so.
And I in the room.
Let me finish my point. I feel that people tend to talk a good game in the beginning, and this is what's going to go, and people are going to try to put that forth, but I still think that there's going to be some issues, and I think it's going to be a time, you know, they're going to have to come together and go to blows first, and I think that's what's going to happen.
All right. You know, you guys, it is so great to talk to you. I hope both sides of the aisle are listening to your voices. Hermine Hartman is publisher of Indigo Magazine in Chicago. Renee Amore is deputy chair of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. We'll be back at you. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Hermine.
So what is the tone? What are we feeling right now? 877-8-MY-TAKE. Give us your soundtrack for the next 4 years. How do you think people are going to cooperate in this new environment?
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
This is The Takeaway, and certainly this was a moment for African-American voters to drive an election in large turnout numbers in places like Pennsylvania and Florida. But African-Americans were just part of the story, by no means the whole story of the get-out-the-vote operation of the Obama campaign. It was very successful, and how it was successful says something about tactics, but also strategy. And we wondered what this election means for the identity of the GOP. Looking forward, we're joined now by Jillian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Professor, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So every time an election result delivers a disappointment, there's always the question of identity for the losing party. In this particular case, are there specific takeaways for the challenges regarding the identity of the Republican Party for the next 2 and 4 years?
Well, sure. What we saw was that the Republicans primarily benefited from white, male, older voters, while Democrats did extraordinarily well with Latino voters, women voters, college-educated, younger Americans, and African Americans. And what's becoming clear is Republicans can't do well in the Electoral College unless they win some of these other votes. And Republicans are narrowing who they appeal to, and I don't think it's a model that can last forever.
In some ways, it's developing arguments that actually apply to some of those constituencies, because it seems to me the Democrats didn't have very persuasive arguments to make to Latinos necessarily, or women, or even African-Americans who are unemployed. And we've certainly heard from some disgruntled African-Americans. But what they were able to do was say, you're more like us than you are like them. The GOP is somehow the other to these constituencies, and that's got to change.
Yeah, part of it is a perception, it's identification. Part of it is a negative response to policy. So I think Latino voters were not responding enthusiastically to President Obama so much as negatively to the anti-immigrant, sometimes nativist strand of the Republican Party that has been pretty pronounced in places like Arizona. They were responding to the voter ID laws that many Republicans supported and the statements about abortion from two Senate candidates. So the negative, I think, drove some of these voters into the other party as much as any positive sense of what Democrats had to offer.
You know, some Republicans have told us today that the primary impact of the Tea Party is basically to say to the national GOP, we can afford to lose a few Senate races if they're not ideologically the sort of level of conservatism that we want. And we certainly saw that yesterday.
Well, it's true, but that might run its course, meaning the Tea Party might demand and insist on ideological purity and argue that in the long run, that's better for a party. But what we've seen over the last few years is control of the Senate has escaped the Republicans, in large part because of Tea Party candidates in this election and in 2010 who were too far to the right. And if anything, Mitt Romney, you know, almost won or did a lot better in October when he distanced himself from the Tea Party, not move closer to them. So they have that argument, but a political party needs to win in the long run. And if they're not winning, they're not going to allow one faction to completely control what they do.
But Jillian Zelizer, you know, we also heard a pretty powerful argument from a Tea Party leader in the state of Iowa who said, they always say this, we need to go towards the center, and the Republican mainstream has given us Bob Dole and John McCain, and I'm telling you, that's not acceptable. Things are going to have to change. They do have a point.
Well, they have a point, but parties are not about ideological purity. They're about building coalitions. So the Tea Parties can make that argument. They could point to failed candidates that the non-Tea Party elements of the GOP have been able to push forward. But they have to argue not only will we be ideologically pure, but we can build a big coalition that could win in this electoral college. And thus far, I haven't heard or seen the candidate who can do that.
So would the Tea Party movement becoming a third party be a help to the GOP, or would that further hurt and shrink the GOP's appeal to its base?
I think that would probably hurt, especially if elections continue to be narrow. I think what Republicans need is a candidate like Ronald Reagan who could speak to the right and who could appeal to them, but who also is not totally one of them and who can appeal to the center and, more importantly, who can attract new constituencies into the Republican Party rather than continuing to play to the existing coalition.
So you really see this as a candidate challenge, not an organizational sort of operational challenge for the Republican Party?
I think this is an organizational challenge that's existed since the 60s. And the difference in some elections have been great candidates who are able to overcome the divisions and unify the party rather than the party somehow sorting people out. I think that's just the way it's worked.
Finally, the numbers on Latino voters going up overwhelmingly for the Democrats, that's got to be the real headline for the GOP today.
Oh, absolutely. States like Colorado and Nevada, it's pretty devastating to lose the Latino vote, and the numbers that they came out in should give pause to the Republicans. I think there's a large part of the Republican Party that wants to liberalize immigration policy, that wants to appeal to them like George W. Bush did, and there's going to be a bit of a battle within the GOP over what to do next.
But there's also an economic argument that the Republicans failed to deliver, and a lot of the numbers suggest that immigration is by no means the only, not even the first issue for Latinos.
Absolutely. Class was important. You know, both two symbols of this campaign, one was the 47% remark by Mitt Romney, and the other was the auto bailout by President Obama. And the auto bailout, in many ways, won the hearts and minds of voters in places like Ohio. And Republicans were perceived as the party of the wealthy, the party of the rich. Republicans can't afford to do that either. They need the Reagan Democrats to win. They need to break into states like Pennsylvania, not simply through rhetoric that appeals to the wealthy.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We want to hear from you as well at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
Now that the election is over, I would like to see an equal rights amendment to the Constitution. Equality of rights shall not be denied or abridged on account of sex. I would think that is something that even Republicans and Democrats could agree on.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.